ברוכים הבאים בשם השם. I thank all of you for coming. Certainly on a night like tonight where most of us would certainly prefer to just stay home. The mere fact that you're here is testimony to the fact that you understand that that we're all standing today before Kadosh Baruch Hu, as the Zohar says, Hayem B'Rosh Hashanah. So we all need to recognize that we are about to be Eved Badin, and you understand the need to do something, to get ourselves to be inspired, to think. Yitzovim means to stand upright. That means that the picture of man is with his head on top, which is really the way to serve Kodesh Baruch Hu, to let our minds dictate what our hearts may lead us astray. So we thank especially Rabbi Shapiro for being able to come here and help us be Yitzovim, to get our heads straight. It's a mitzvah that he's doing that's both Ben Adam Lechaveva, in helping us have a greater appreciation for our responsibilities as Ben Adam Lechaveva. For that, we thank Rabbi Shapiro, and we thank Ari Goldstein, our relentless program director, who never stops providing us with opportunities for Aliyah. Shekeach Diskus Al Debeistein, Rabbi Shapiro.
Firstly, Bereshus, the Moira D'Asra, Harav Levitan Shlita. It's a very big honor and a very big schus to be here tonight and to speak in your presence. I want to start by expressing my Akaras HaTayv and deepest thanks to my Achsanya, the one who enabled and created tonight, both my Achsanya Bechlal and the one Bechrat. In general, it's to the entire Olympia community. I'm very grateful to each and every one of you, as well as to the Muncie Night Seder Beis Medrash for making tonight possible. My Achsanya Bifrat specifically is Rabbi Ari Goldstein. He's the one who created the arrangements, the back and forth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant you and every one of you Yumale Hashem Kol Mishalos Lipchem L'Toyva, that everything that we'll daven for Beruchnius and Begashmius, and be answered, Gesundheit. We're a few days before Rosh Hashanah, Tov Shin Ayin Vav, and people want to properly prepare. And more than properly preparing, we're going to be davening, and we're going to try very hard to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to answer all of our tefillos. Perhaps the focus of tonight's shiur can be explained with one sentence from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. I'd like to quote it to you. And I'd like this sentence to become our mantra for the entire time we're together tonight. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is talking about how a person is meritorious in judgment. Like everybody wants to know. The Heiliger Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, and I quote, Ki ha'etza ha'yechida liskeis badinhi. Not a good piece of advice, and not even one of the greatest, but ha'etza ha'yechida, the single greatest piece of advice is lihiyos ish sherabim tzrichim loy. Lihiyos ish sherabim tzrichim loy means become a person that other people need, that other people rely on you. And really, that's what we're going to talk about the entire time tonight. With your permission, I actually want to break it up into three separate groups. Separate and distinct groups that need to be focused on. But as you hear the three groups, what should be going through your mind is, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is telling me that the greatest piece of advice entering a Rosh Hashanah to be Zoyche B'din, Ha'etza HaYechida is, Lihi Yis Ish, Sherabim Tzrichim Loi. That the Rabbim, that people need you. I guess it is best said by saying these words, to how many people are you truly indispensable? To how many people will it be that on Rosh Hashanah they'll be thinking in their davening, Ribbono Shel Olam, please grant him, please grant her a kibbutz to gesunta yar, because I need them, I rely on them, they're indispensable to me. So how many people would you say feel that way about me and about you? Because Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, not it's a good piece of advice, and not it's one of the best, but ha'etza ha'yechida, be indispensable, lihiyos ish terabim tzrichim loy. Let's break up this group into three separate types of people, if you will. The first of the three might be the hardest one to hear about. The only reason why I'm mentioning it first is in keeping with that Chazal say, Sur Meirav Aseitoy, which according to one explanation, Sur Meirav Aseitoy means first you remove that which is bad, and then you pursue the Aseitoy. In keeping with that, let the first group of people we focus on tonight of our three be the Sur Meirav. And I wanted to create that the three groups will be something that we could easily remember, so perhaps the following not mnemonic, but letters might help us. Keep in mind for tonight's shiur the letters Ayin, Resh, Vez. Ayin, Resh, Vez. And each of the three groups, we're going to use those three letters, but in an entirely different way. Let's start with the first. Be'ezus Hashem, after the Yemei Din, we have Sukkos. Sukkos is a time that people with a great joy take the Dalad Minim. The following is a question that's asked from Rabbi Yecheskel Banet of Nitra. Rabbi Mordechai Banet of Nitra. He says, what's going on? Did you ever notice that there's a certain way that we feel about three of the four minim, but not the fourth? Let's take a look. You ever see the way people speak about the Esrog? The Esrog, and yes, sometimes people will spend hundreds of dollars on it, but it's spoken about and treated that creates Hadar, and it should be, but it's spoken about in such majestic terms. Similar to Lulav, I remember, and I'm certainly not the oldest in the room, that the Lulav used to be protected in a plastic case. A few years later, that became a hard case. And now it's like a mini tank to protect the Lulav. People speak about Hadassim very lovingly and will spend a lot of time picking the perfect Hadassim, again, rightfully so. But he wants to know, what happened to the Arava? Did you ever hear the way people speak about the Arava? You go to somebody who says that sells the Dalad Minim. You know, if you spend enough on the Lulav and the Esrog and the Hadassim, I'll throw the Aravas in for free. After 2 days, when the Aravas become black and wilted, yeah, come by, no problem. I have more. My Yigala can pick it up from you, no problem. What did the Arava do wrong? What did the Arava do that it's, so to speak, at the short end of the deal, it's not spoken about the same way as the others are? Mordechai Banet of Nitra says something very powerful. And yes, that's your first word that has an Ayin Resh Vez, Arava. Take a look at where the Dalad Minim come from. Esroigim. Oh, we get the finest Esroigim from Pardesim and orchards in Eretz Yisrael, thousands of miles away. Lulavim. The lulavim that come from overseas, from some of the European countries, the lulavim that come from France, the most fabulous lulavim. Hadassim. Many Hadassim come from the Orient and places thereby. Where does the Arava come from? Where do many people get their Aravas from? I know my family, where do many people get their Aravas from? Their backyard, that's right. Zokter Mordecha Banek Minaitra, fabulous concept. The other three that come from thousands of miles away, they're spoken about and treated, again, rightfully so, don't misunderstand, with a mystique and with an awe and with a reverence, because they come from afar. But what you have in your own backyard, the Arava, you take for granted, period. It's always those who are nearest and dearest to me that we take for granted. Which might be why the word family and familiar are virtually the same letters. It's with our family we are most familiar, which is a maila, but it could also be a tremendous kisaron. Because we take people for granted. And Mordecha Banek says something incredible. He says, but take a look. If you look at the Gemara in Sukkah, when the Yom Tov of Sukkot is coming to an end and the Kayanim encircle and go around the Mizbeach, what do they take with them? They put down the Lulavim, they put down the Esrogim, and they put down the Hadassim. The only thing they use to walk around the Mizbeach is the Arava. Because at the end of the day, when everything is said and done and it's all over, all you have in your life is the Arava, period. And I'm not suggesting that anybody turn to their spouse and say, how are you, my Arava? But I'll tell you what I am saying. The first Ayin Reish Vayis tonight is the word Arava. Because that which we have in our own backyard, those that are across our dining room table, our spouse, our sibling, our parent, our aunt, our child, we take them for granted. Because the nearest and the dearest become the Arava. But at the end of the day, when all of them seek the awe and the reverence of all those momentary things come and go, that's all you've got left. Period. So I humbly suggest that the first of our three groups tonight, that we will tie into the words of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Liyos Isha Rabban Srikamoy, is to our family. Are you indispensable? People like starting on the outside. Don't start on the outside. That's missing the boat. Start on the inside. Are you indispensable to your family? To your spouse, to your sibling, to your child, to your parent, to your cousin, to your aunt, to your grandparent. Be'ezras Hashem, they should storm the gates of Rosh Hashanah and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I need that family member. They are indispensable to me. That's the first of the three groups of Liyos Ish, Sherabim, Srichem. Unfortunately, though, sometimes that's the hardest group with which to start. Because they're the nearest and the dearest, and because they're in my own backyard, and because we tend to take them for granted, sometimes we allow disagreements and machloikas and resentment and bitterness stand in the way. My father, Harav Mordechai Shapiro Zatzal, said over a vart on words in Pirkei Avos, it's one of the finest things you'll ever hear. It says in Pirkei Avos that one of the miracles of the Beis Hamikdash was Oimdim Sefufim Eshtachim Ervachim, which meant when they stood, it was cramped, but when they would bow down, there was ample room. Now that's a miracle, because it should be just the opposite. My father said you should translate these words as the basic in a relationship 101, the end-all, be-all. Here it is. Oimdim. If you're going to stand your ground, rigid, I'm right, you're wrong, and you'll never capitulate, sefufim, then the relationship will be miserable. Mishtachavim. But if you'll bend and bow and be willing to validate and hear what Yenim has to say, the Aravamen, if that's who I'm talking about, then Revachim. Then it brings the relationship Revach, and it's a thing of beauty. Rabbeisan, that's a pshat. Sometimes with the Arav in our life, we get so involved with the Oidim. I'm right, you can't even see the other person's point of view. It's a foof, and we know it's miserable. Day is a day, and night is a night. Mishtachavim, then Revachim. It starts with the Arava. Let them be the first group that they say, Revayna Shalaylam, I need that person in my life. A few weeks ago, I saw in the Sefer of Moshe Ka'or a Gematria. As far as Gematria goes, I feel this is one of the most sensational ones because of how glatt it is. Rashi says by Kairach that his fault was Lokach Atzmoy Letzad Echad. He took himself off to a side. Literally, it means that he separated himself from the Tzibur. But the Moshe Ka'or brings down the following Gematria. What does it mean, Tzad Echad? You know how arguments start? When I am facing this person in my life, I hear my tzad. It's my tzad. Your tzad doesn't exist. Yeah, maybe I'll listen, but I'm not really listening. It's my tzad. Any pikeach, any bar seichel understands in a relationship, when I'm facing someone, I have a tzad, but you have a tzad. So let me hear both. The numeric value of the word tzad is 94. If I have one of those and you have a tzad, that's 94 times 2. That's 188. The word pikeach, pei kuf ches, is 188. That's what makes you wise. Now I have to do that, and the other person in the relationship has to do that. Yes, the sibling that I should be getting along with better. If I will realize that I have a tzad and you have a tzad, and you will do the same, then I'm a pikeach and you're a pikeach. Well, I have 188 pikeach and so do you. Pikeach times 2 is 376. The word shalom, everlasting peace, shin lamed vav mem, is 376. That's a gematria. It's time that we realize going into Yom Tov, I have a tzad, but you have a tzad. And I'm going to listen. I'll validate. Mishtachavim revochim. And if I'll be a pikeach, and my spouse, and my sibling, and my relative will be, then me a pikeach, and you a pikeach, 376. That brings shalom ba'olam. That's the first group that we have to realize how priceless the Arava is in our life. Don't take anybody for granted. And while we're still speaking about the concept of Sur Meira and the things we have to get rid of, by extension, sometimes we look at someone, be it a family member or be it someone outside the family, and we'll be critical of them. There's something that we don't like. Sometimes we'll say about somebody, oh, he's a koifer. She's a koifer. It's our easy way of saying they're no good. Really? You know what the word koifer etymologically comes from? When Noach was told to cover over the teva, he was told the chafarta, cover it over. The root of the word a koifer is the chafarta. Really, you keep pointing to someone, she's no good. What'd she ever do in her life? The chafarta. The beauty is covered over. Intrinsically, he's a gem. She's a diamond. There's a wonderful person there. And the next time you point a finger, he's a koifer, she's a koifer, you're right. The chafarta, the beauty is there, but the chafarta's covered over. Don't take anybody for granted. I saw a pshat a few weeks ago, B'shem de Bar Ditchever, the Heilige Bar Ditchever, Blevi Yitzchok Ben Sarasasha. One of the tefillahs that we say on the Yom HaRoyim, very powerful, the B'chol Maminim. One of the stanzas in the middle of the B'chol Maminim is, HaToyv HaMeitiv LaRoyim VeLaToyvim. Hashem is so good to those who are evil and those who are good. Those words may sound familiar to you because about 40 years ago they became a popular song. Yes, it was a tefillah before it became a song. Hatoyva hametiv laroyim ilatoyvim. Says the Heilig of Ardichev Erdeb, Rebbeinu Shalom, I ask you one thing. Hatoyva hametiv, can you please be good and giving laroyim to those who seem to be bad? To those who seem to be ra. Because Rebbeinu Shalom, I say that if you'll be a toivim meitiv to those who seem to be ra, v'la toivim, you'll see they are really good. It's not talking about two separate people. Those that you think are ra, ha-toiv ha-meitiv la-ra'im, v'la toivim, you'll see they're good. You'll see how beautiful they are. V'chafarta, sometimes it's covered over. We have to realize in the Sur Meirav what we have to get rid of. That before we start realizing that this one's no good and that one's no good, we have to emulate the Rebbeinu Shalom. We have to say to ourselves, HaToiv HaMeitiv LaRayim, LaToiv, and those people will become good. And so the first of our Ayin Reish Beis words is Arava. Make sure the Arava, the family, those nearest and dearest, find you to be truly indispensable. Remember, these aren't my words. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, "Ha'etz ha'yachida lishpeis badini liyos ish sharabim tzrichim lo." You got it. That's it. Now go do it. Group number two. The second definition of the word Ayin Reish Beis. We're told in Shir HaShirim, Hashmi'ini es Kailech, ki Kailech Arev. There's that word, Ayin Reish Beis. Now there it means, please Hashem, who will listen to our voice, ki Kailech Arev, because we have a sweet voice. We're not going to translate it that way though. The Heilig Yeridomsky Rebbe, Zechusa Yogan Aleinu, says of our, that for me personally is one of the greatest things I've ever heard. You know what Ayin Reish Beis means? It comes from the word Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. And Arev means a guarantor. And Arev means you have to show responsibility one year to another. Like, do you live in a vacuum? Who lives in a vacuum? And the Rebbeinu Shalom is saying, Hashmi'ini es Kailech. Do you want me to listen to your voice? You really want me to listen to your tefillos? Here's the ticket. Ki kailech arev. Have a voice of Kol Yisrael arevim zeh b'zeh. I'm responsible for you and you're responsible for me. Rabbeisa, you didn't need me to tell you how we need our tefillos listened to. We look back at the year. And while we are so makir toy, and we say, Eini kofui toy, I'm not ungrateful. But we look back and we think about Klal Yisrael's year. And just mentioning a number of things that jump at us. The world was changed before and after the Har Nof massacre. In fact, let me rephrase that. It took about 7 minutes. So the next time someone wants to know, really, you could do something monumental in 7 minutes? Yeah. There's a world before the Har Nof massacre and the world after Har Nof. I myself landed in Eretz Yisrael the day of the massacre. It happened in the morning. I went to my father's yard site. He's buried in Eretz Yisrael in B'nai Brak. When I landed, they were in the middle of the Levayas. As a result, unbeknownst to me, but a large part of my, I'm only there for a few days, but the trip had changed. People and seminaries and schools had set up different speeches. There was one after a couple of nights for women, I think 12 or 1300 women in Ezra's Torah. The next night you could have heard it on B'nai's Malachim, inspired by Wire, thousands did. I'm just trying to give you an idea of what the country, if you were there, you don't need to hear a word from me. And if you weren't there, there's nothing I could say that would make you understand. Walking up and down the same street to four families, four almanas, and 25 or more yesoimen, Usually we have such a scene when we're going in and out of a Shalom Zohar. It was surreal. Thousands of people just in the days up and down the street. Being in the shul the next morning, the world was changed. During the winter, many episodes of anti-Semitism. That day that we saw that the Yidden were killed in the kosher market. A few months later, right before Pesach, we heard about it happened on Rosh Chodesh to the Sassoon Mishpach with seven of their children. After Levaya, Reb Gavriel, and I understand he was here as well, Reb Gavriel said, translating the karbonos of Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, a person brings two porim, ayil echod, and shiva kivasim tamimim, and it's every Rebbeinu Shalom. The two parim, the parents, that's me and my wife. Ayil echod is the one daughter we still have. Shiva kivasim tamimim, that we gave. You sit down to a Seder table where the motif is v'higadeta l'bincha, and Reb Gavriel looked at seven empty chairs. Ribayna shalayla. Certainly we need Hashmi'ini as Koylech, and Hashem says ki Koylech orev, kol Yisrael arevim zeh bazeh. You've got to be responsible one for another. Nobody lives in a bubble. And people are oh so busy. But, as the Maridasa Shlita said so eloquently, it's a few days before Yom Tov, and still such a large Olam Kainus is only put together literally with a few days' notice, to have well over 100 Anoshim Chashuvim, Noshim Tzichonios, clearly you get it. Kol Yisrael Areidim Zebazeh. In fact, you know how the Radomsker ends that part? Which one of the three Avos best teach us this getting along? Clearly it was Yaakov Avinu. Because amongst the Shvatim there was Sina and Kina. But at the end of the day, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, all the Shvatim got along. Now listen to what the Radomsker says. What's the name of the tefillah that Avram established? What do we call it? Shachas. What's the name of the tefillah that Yitzchak established? Mincha. And what's the name of the tefillah that Yaakov Avinu established? And don't answer Myrick. That would mean you didn't hear what we just said. Or you didn't doubt it. You know what the name of the tefillah is that Yaakov Avinu established? Arvis. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. You have to take care one of another. I'm not poskening in front of the Rav Shlita, but perhaps we could say that while the Gemara says there's a debate whether Ma'ariv is a reshus, it might be optional, I'd like to say that's true about Ma'ariv. But Arvis is a choyva. It's obligatory. So before you go to bed at night, ask yourself, did I daven Arvis today? How many people did I help? About a year ago, I had the privilege of writing up an article that spoke about what Rabbi Shaul Salanter said, become someone who's truly indispensable. And in the article, I asked about 8 questions that I'd like to quickly read to you. You know, people make a checklist before Yom Tov. Did I remember to put up the chant? Did we ever get the stuff from the cleaners? Who's picking up Bubby? Do we know what menu for which guests and all the courses? And those are questions that a person has a right to ask. But no one has a right to go into Rosh Hashanah without this checklist. You know what it means to be indispensable? Number one, how many people depend on us for chizuk? How many people did you pick up the phone and you were mamish mechazik? You know what it takes to really be mechazik? Somebody we'll see in a little while. You could do it with a moment, and it changes their life. How many people count on us for a Shabbos or Yom Tov Suda? And I don't mean when they're called Friday afternoon as an afterthought. How many people count on us to learn Torah with them, to teach them Torah, and to teach them more about Yiddishkeit? How many people depend on us both financially and emotionally?
As I ask these questions, you should be thinking, you know, this is who might need me, that who might, and also be thinking there's more I could do for her and him.
How many people would say that you're a shoulder for them to cry on? That you're a listening ear? That you provide them with a kind word and a warm smile? And finally, how many people depend on you for advice, guidance, inspiration, and compassion? That's a checklist. You can have all the checklists that we mentioned earlier, but no one should go in without asking yourself those 8 questions. It's not mine. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, you've got to be indispensable. That means the one that counts on you for the phone call, the one that you invite that they rarely get an invitation, the one that you need to know that they need an economic support. Let them daven in shul on Rosh Hashanah and say, Ribbono shel Olam, I need her. He's indispensable to my life. And then it becomes a whole different cheshbon. People are counting on us. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein would get a phone call every Erev Pesach from a woman who wanted to know if she could take her medicine for her heart condition. I heard this from her son. He's a doctor in New Jersey. And every Erev Pesach, she would call and her Moshe would patiently tell her why she could take the medicine, why it wasn't chometz, why it was permitted for the heart, and he would be masber all the halachos, and then he would wish her gejunkel. Erev Pesach, this went on for more than 20 years. The son told me that after 20 years of this, 1 year Erev Pesach, his mother was becoming forgetful, and she forgot to call Reb Moshe. She forgot. Before Yom Tov, the phone rings in her house, and she picks up, and the voice says, "This is Moshe Feinstein calling. I didn't hear from you today, and it's Erev Pesach. Are you okay? I was concerned when I didn't hear from you. Are you all right? And I just want to reassure you that you could take the medicine and explain once again why it's not a problem." And with that, he vinched her on a conjunctive. I don't think anybody needs that story to even be explained. You know what an Erev Pesach is like? Erev Pesach is the busiest day of the year. For a Rav, they say that it has the pressure north of the almost nuclear explosion in Three Mile Island 30 years ago near Philly. I'm sure the Rav could appreciate that. But for Reb Moshe and Erev Pesach, because Reb Moshe understood Hashmiini as Koilech ki Koilech Horei, you've got to be indispensable to people. That's the ticket. The Maaseh Pilei Poyim. I know if I would come home and my wife would tell me, "Oh, you know that call you have to make? Don't worry about it. It was taken care of." That's like a simcha. I don't have to make a call. And what's on Reb Moshe's mind? To call the woman. Everybody's obligated. You have an achrayus. You know how you spell the word achrayus? Achrayus is spelled aleph, ches, resh, yud, vav, sof. 6 letters. It tells you everything you need to know. Aleph, that's one, me. You have to be responsible to yourself. Are you growing in your avodas Hashem? The next letter of achrayus is a ches, aleph, ches, ach, my brother. That's what we opened up with the arava. Do you take care of your brother? The next letter is a resh, aleph ches resh, acher. There's more out there. There's the coworker, the neighbor down the block, the one I sit next to in shul. What's the fourth letter? Aleph ches resh yud. That's when you turn to a fellow yid and say, acharai, you can follow after me. I'm far less look. They'll sense that you're the real deal, and they'll want to follow after you. You really mean it, don't you? What's the next letter? Aleph, Ches, Resh, Yud, Vav. Acharov.
They will feel comfortable following after you
because they see you mean it ernst. People like real people. And what's the last letter? Aleph, Ches, Reish, Yud, Vav, Sof. It's a Sof, Tav. The last letter of the Aleph phase. What's the first letter in Aleph? Aleph to Tav. You know what it means to be there for a fellow Yid? Not when it's good for you and when it's a good time. Aleph to Tav, beginning to end, business life. Sometimes we do chesed very well with people. They come from the same city as me. We have the same backgrounds, the same milieu, we daven in the same shul, we even have the same havara, the same nusach and tefillah. That's not chesed, that's called cloning.
Achrayis aleph to yourself, aleph ches to your family, your arava, aleph ches reish acher to your fellow yid. They need you financially, emotionally. What does it take to give a kind word, a smile, an invitation?
Ribbono shel olam. Acharai, they'll see your real acharov, they'll follow after you. Aleph to tuf, beginning to end. You gotta be there one yid for another. We need our tefillos answered. And the Ribbono shel olam says, did you daven arvis? Because hashmi'ini es koylech, only when ki koylech arv, you show that you care about another yid. There was a maisa that my father's atzal often said over. To me, I find it to be one of the most unreal maises you can ever hear. And my father said it often. The Kapishna Sereb, Yom Kippur afternoon, the Lower East Side. You get the scene? It's during the break, perhaps before Mincha or after Musaf, and he's walking on the street with his gabbai. And he looks and he sees there's a restaurant here, and there's a glass, and he sees that in the front of a restaurant, there's a yid that's eating. Yom Kippur in the afternoon, there's a yid that's eating in a restaurant. The Kapishna Sereba walks in, and I quote, he goes over to the yid, and he says to the one who's eating, Gud yomtif reb yid, un es mit appetit. Eat with a hearty appetite. The gabbai, when they walk out, asks the Rebbe, Es mit appetit, why did the Rebbe say that? The Rebbe says, I want you to know something. On Yom HaKadosh and Yom HaKippurim, a yid gets punished on one of two levels, either as a mumer lahachis or a mumer l'teyavim. A mumer lahachis means that they sinned maliciously, lahachis, with intent, deliberately. A mumer l'teyavim means nevach, they gave in to their temptation and desire. Obviously, a mumer l'hachas gets punished far more severely than only a mumer l'teyavim. When I passed the restaurant, I saw he was eating with intent maliciously, and he was going to get punished as a mumer l'hachas. So I walked in and I said, Reb Yid, es mit appetit. This way, if he eats with a hearty appetite, he'll be downgraded to only a mumer l'teyavim. And as a mumer l'teyavim, he will be punished less severely. I sometimes wonder if I would have passed the restaurant and seen the same scene, what would I have said? I'm sure it would not have been es mit appetit.
But the Kapishna Sereba understood Achrayis is Aleph to Tav. And if there's a yid on Yom Kippur who's going to get punished as a mumer lahachis, it's my job to downgrade him to a mumer l'teyavim, and he walks in and says, Es mit appetit. That is ki koylech orev.
And that's the second group that we're talking about, becoming people to whom we are truly indispensable. Looking out for people. There's a maisa, Reb Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. Reb Yosef Chaim was walking and he saw passing a school, a 4-year-old girl was crying. They asked the teachers, why is she crying? They said, it's the first day of school. And no one came to pick her up. And her mother is critically ill in the hospital. So the four-year-old's crying. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld asked the teacher, where does she live? A few blocks away. He was given the directions. And he took the four-year-old girl and he walked it a few blocks home. When he brings her into the house, he sees the house is in total disarray, notably because the mother's critically ill in the hospital. He then turns to the four-year-old and says, number one, your mother will have a refuah shleima. And number two, Be'ezus Hashem shall be by your chuppah. That's what Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld says to a four-year-old. Let me stop here and give you just a small piece of advice. Don't assume you have the story figured out. The mother has a refuah shleima against everything that the doctor said. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld said, and Shitaka had a refuah shleima. Miracle upon miracle upon miracle. As the girl is growing older, she's reminded about the second part, the mother will be by your chuppah. The four-year-old is now 18 and she's entering Shidduchim and she gets read, wonderful Shidduchim. But for one reason or another, this one is not right, that one's not right, she seems to be unusually picky. She's no longer 18, but now she's perhaps 22, 23. Still rejecting different Shidduchim, and a younger sibling is not waiting, the younger sibling gets married. And now perhaps she's already in the mid to upper 20s, and a few other younger siblings aren't waiting, and they, Baruch Hashem, find their zivug, and they get married as well. And now our 4-year-old and 18-year-old is over 31. And all of the younger siblings have gotten married. And then she gets read a shidduch, not like the one from 13 years ago. She accepts it. And they become engaged. And the date of the wedding is set. And the 31-year-old Kala goes to her chuppah and her mother's there. And the next morning, her mother is neferes. And so our Kala, all of half a day, instead of going to Sheva Brachos, she first goes to her mother's levaya. And as many have the custom, specifically in Eretz Yisrael, one asks mechila from a parent. And the Kala of a half a day turns to her mother and says, Ma, I want to ask mechila. I know that I was picky and I know that I gave you a hard time and it was difficult. And I really beg mechila. I'm sorry. But I want you to know, the only reason that I was so picky and the only reason I did it that way is so that all of my younger siblings could also benefit from Rabbi Yosef Chaim's bracha. And once I saw that every younger sibling, Baruch Hashem, benefited from Rabbi Yosef Chaim's bracha, and had you after chasina, then and only then was I ready. But I asked mechila. And most people think they have the story all figured out. She did it for herself. Nothing, nada, zero. No, not at all. The only thing she thought about was her other siblings. She wanted them to also benefit from Rabbi Yosef Chaim's bracha. And once they successfully were married and they benefited, she said, I'm ready. That's achrayus at its best. Hashmi'ini as koylech, that tefillah will be heard, ki koylech orei. And that's what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter means. You want to go into Rosh Hashanah? You want to be zaycha bedin? I'm asking you, don't forget my checklist. You want to make your own, by all means. But please take it seriously. Go home and ask yourself, how many people depend on me financially, emotionally, for a yomtiv suda, for a kind word, for carpool, for a visit, for bikur cholim?
how many people? Because then when you daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not just you who are davening, but it's you and all those you represent. And that's a different calculation. And those others are davening for you and saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, I need them.
That's what it means to properly show this arevus. And what does it take? What does it take? Did I mention anything so big and grandiose? Did I mention something so insurmountable that there's not one thing we can't answer positively? I'll tell you what it takes. My father, Hard Mordechai Shapiro, says, how could it be that the Hebrew for the word to be alive, to have a soul, is neshama? And the Hebrew for the word to be void, to be desolate, is neshama. Take a look at the Haftarah of Parshas Parah, you'll see that word a few times, neshama. How could that be? They're both the same four letters, nun, shin, mem, hey. Neshama, neshama, there's like no difference. And one means I'm alive with soul. And one means neshama. It's so lonely. It's so desolate. What should I get up in the morning for? Like, would anybody even notice? What's the difference between neshama and neshama? So my father would explain that under the shin of neshama is a patach, and under the shin of neshama is a kamatz. What does a patach look like, Rabbi Yisai? It's a line across like this. That's a patach. And what's a kamatz? A kamatz is when I take another line underneath and I give it a little support. And when you add a little support, you create a neshama. That's it. That's the ticket. Ask people who have no support. People who feel they have no purpose. People don't even notice, they don't even care. They walk by me. Without support, people will tell you they feel neshama. All it takes is a little support. How do you make a kamatz from a patach? A little support. The one smile, the one call, I'm sorry, the invitation, whatever it is. For you, it's not a big deal. For the other person, the recipient, it's the difference between neshama and neshama. That's what it takes. And that's the second of our Ayin Reish Veis. Arevos. Hashmi'ini es koilech, ki koilech orech. We have to be responsible one for another. There are so many people that need to count on us. It starts with the Sur Meira making amends with the nearest and dearest, the Arava. Then it's the Asei Toiv, go out, show achrayus, ki koilech orev, create a neshama. That's why the Kapishna of the Rebbe goes into a restaurant and says, et medapatit. That's why Rabbi Yosef Chaim could have a 4-year-old that becomes 31 and says, I'm waiting for my younger siblings. And that's why Rabbi Moshe calls a woman on an Erev Pesach. And now the third and final of the Ayin Reish days. First we have the Arava. Then, after those who are nearest and dearest. And by the way, I don't mean that these are things we should do in a few weeks. These are things to do before Rosh Hashanah, Tov Shinayin Vav. If there's someone that I only listen to my side and I mach the other person avek, you didn't mean anything to me, you make shalom. You make amends. You tell the Arava how much they mean to you. You become someone who's an achrayis yid. Ki koilech orev. And now the third and final Ayin Reish days. There's another group of people that need us. It starts looking inside with our family. By the way, Dad, I could never stress enough. Then we look outside, but to those that we know and those who we have shaitis with and those who we see. But then there's a third group, and those are people. How sweet would it be? And it's interesting, I just used that word sweet. The harivna. The harav, how do you spell sweet iron rage bays? That's the third definition. How sweet would it be if there would be people, maybe people who don't yet know the beauty of Yiddishkeit, people who are unaffiliated, people who don't know that Rosh Hashanah is a time to be in shul and not in Disney World. People who don't know what's wrong with eating bread on Pesach. You think they're any less of our responsibility? That's a ginormous mistake if we think that way. How sweet would it be if we would show them the harivna, the beauty of it? I believe I heard in the name of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, our Gadol Hador, Zoller Gesund und Stark sein. In the morning in Birchas HaTorah we say the harivna. But then we know that if you didn't say Birchas HaTorah and you say Ava Rabba, then the Ava Rabba that you say, or Ava Soilim, if you daven the Sachsvard, that could be in place of the Birchas HaTorah you didn't say. Why is it that there you have a whole list? Lilmoid, Lilame, Lishma, Relasus, Lakayim, Lahovin, Lahaskil, 8-9 things. Why don't you have that list in the morning in Birchas Baharim? No, why isn't it there? You know what Rakhayim says? Because if you have the haravna, if you taste the sweetness, by definition you have everything else. The lulame, lahovin, lahaskil, lishmor, velasheis, all of that you get if you have the haravna. You see, because if it's sweet, you get the whole picture. Maybe what's missing is in the third and final group tonight, have we shown those people who don't know the beauty? Have you shown them the sweetness? That means instead of passing their house again, instead of seeing them in the supermarket and saying, as if you're making a call when no one's on the phone and just turning away, notice them. You'd be surprised how a little gesture can turn their life around. Let me tell you another maaser with Rav Moshe. The beginning is very painful, and I'm sorry that I have to share it with you. Years ago, Bochrum decided they were going to make prank phone calls. Only they took their prank to a new level. They were going to call different poskim, different rabbinic authorities in halacha, and ask the silly shayla as a prank call. And one of them had the job, or it was his turn, to call Reb Moshe. It was about 11 o'clock at night. Reb Moshe had already gone in on that night. And he tells the Rebbetzin, I have a question. Should I wake up the Rosh Hashiva? The boy says yes. Reb Moshe comes to the phone. He says, hello, you have a question? I have to first do Netilas Yudayim, make brachos. He comes back to the phone. The boy asks a question. But Moshe picks up right away that it's a prank and it's a joke. He says to the boy, where do you learn what you should do? The boy is hesitant to answer. He thinks perhaps that he's going to get in trouble. And Reb Moshe reassures him, don't worry, you're not going to get in trouble. Where do you learn? The boy tells him. What gemara are you learning? He tells him, what daf are you on? Reb Moshe asks the boy a question on the Tosfos on that page. The boy doesn't know the first word of Gemara. He's not going to know a question on the Tosfos. Reb Moshe says, let me teach you the Gemara. And Reb Moshe, without a Gemara in front of him, word by word and line by line, goes through the entire Gemara, Rashi. After the first time, with patience, Reb Moshe, the harivna. You get it yet? He does this with the boy a second time. He does it with the boy a third time. I'm not sure he may have even done it a fourth time. I heard this mice a number of times, actually, from our family, Mechut and Reb Moshe Schmelzer. I don't remember if it was three times or four times.
The Harivna, the boy started to taste the sweetness. It's all there. And Reb Moshe, with the patience and loving guidance, once and again and again, then he says, now take a look at Toysus. He teaches him Toysus. He asks the Kasha. The boy says, you know, that's a great Kasha. Now I get it.
Reb Moshe says, here's what I want you to do. Tomorrow morning when you're learning Taisus and Shir, I want you to ask your Rebbe this Kasha. The boy asks the Kasha. The Rebbe says, that's a great Kasha. Where'd you get it from? He says, I got it from Reb Moshe Feinstein. The Rebbe says, let me think about it. And he spends the rest of the week thinking about that kasha, and he says at the end of the week, he gives the boy an answer. That boy said, what? I had a kasha that mamish got my Rebbe to think all week? I was entrusted with such a mission, my Rebbe thought about a kasha of mine all week?
The boy said on the spot, because he felt the Vaharevna of Reb Moshe, because he tasted and felt the sweetness on the spot, he turned his life around, and today he's a well-known Magid Shir in the Yeshiva Gedolah in the tri-state area.
Why? Because Vaharevna. That's the third Ayin Reish Beis.
Let's go into Rosh Hashanah. And remember, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, be indispensable. Number one, to your family. Number two, to a fellow Yid that you know well and you associate with. And number three, to the unaffiliated. Instead of turning away and walking the other way, I'll give them a little support and create a neshama. Show them how sweet it is.
In fact, Rabbi Yisrael, may I be so bold as to say that's why we were created. It's not my own words. The Radomsky Rebbe says, you know, Pirkei Avos, it says, which literally means if you learned a lot of Torah, don't pat yourself on the back and think you're the gift of the world. You were created to learn. The Radomsky Rebbe says, anytime you see the word Toiv, ain't Toiv ela Torah. Toiv is Torah. Listen to how he reads the words. Pilek, pilek, ployim.
Im lamadat to Torah harbe. If you've been privileged to learn Torah, if you've been privileged to know the beauty of Yiddishkeit, al tachazik toiva la'atzmecha. Don't keep all that toiv. Don't keep all that goodness la'atzmecha for yourself. That's selfish. Al tachazik toiva la'atzmecha. Don't keep it for yourself. Spread it.
In fact, Hilakach Natsarta. Natsarta is the same letters as the word Sinairis. Sinairis means pipes.
Get it out there.
You were not created for Tachzik Toivel Atzmecha, for self-aggrandizement. I have it. I'm busy. I can't be busy with you. Really? I don't know. That's not what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said. Hilakach Natsarta, that's the reason that a person was created. Every one of us have this ability. The Rosh Hashiva of Detroit, or Blade Box, says a fabulous pshat. We know Klal Yisrael is compared to Kechovim. We're all stars. And why Kechovim? We have a lot of reasons. Stars shine. Stars are too many to count. And every star has its own shape. You know what he says why we're compared to Kechovim? If you take a look at Rashi in the beginning of Bereishis, why were Kechavim created? Why were Kechavim created? Rashi says the moon felt badly that it was diminished in size. So Lahafiz Daite, to appease and to be there to help the moon, Kechavim were created. Zokra blade boxed. Every yid has to be a Kechav, a star. You know what it means to belong to the group of Kechavim? Lahafis, to be there for someone, to help someone.
Everybody should go into Rosh Hashanah and tell themselves, I could be one of the Kechavim. I could shine like a star. You know what stars were created to do? Lahafis, to be there, to help someone. Ayin Reish Beis, it has to be the Harav, to show them how sweet it is. Just before ending, I want to tell you, I just remembered the Gemara in Bracha says, there are different times of when you could say Kriya Shema in the morning. Either if you could tell the difference between blue and white, blue and purple. One opinion in the name of Acherim says, Mishayira es chaveiro berichut dalet amos v'yakirenu, which literally means when you could see your friend at a distance of about 8 feet, v'yakirenu, and you recognize, let's say the difference, distance from me to you is about 8 feet, and I recognize you, then it's light enough to say it. Halekha v'halivu brings down a life-changing shot. The morning Kriya Shema is the light, the R. You know when you'll merit that light? Mishayira es chaveiroi. When you see a friend, berichuk dalet amos, he's berichuk dalet amos. He's already outside of the dalet amos. He's having a difficult time. He's gone off. He's berichuk dalet amos. He no longer knows about Yiddishkeit. V'yakirenu. And you bring him back. You validate him. Then you could say Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. Then you'll have Oyer Shel Mashiach. Mishayira es chaveira berichuk dalet amos. You have to see a friend, somebody. Berichuk, they've gone off. They don't know about it. V'yakirenu. Bring them back. Validate them. Make them feel epis vos. Then you can say Kriya Shema. I have a brother-in-law, Reb Yitzchok Mitnick, from Flatbush. He's involved now in writing Sforim Avodah Brura. One of the things he's very involved in is helping teenagers that are having a hard time. I never really know there's a proper term. I know in the 80s those teenagers were called teens at risk, and maybe in the 90s teens on the fence and then on the fringe. And now teens taking the scenic route. You can call it whatever you want. I'm not so comfortable. Someone from a very prestigious mishpacha brought their child, we'll call him Chaim, to my brother-in-law, and said, work your magic. It was Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. The next day they were going to daven in Landau's. Landau's is a minyan factory, 21 hours a day, hundreds of minyanim, thousands of people in and out. That day, Beis Tavos was Chaim's birthday. They'll sell an aliyah for a few dollars. He'll buy it, and Chaim will feel a neshama was created. My brother-in-law's in Landau's. It's time to bid for the aliyah. And he bids. Chaim's birthday, Beis Tavos. It's the least I could do. The Harivna, make it sweet!
$5. Somebody from the other side of the shul yells out 10. Well, he yells out 20. That guy yells out 30. 40, 50, 60. It started to sound like it would be a bidding war for Psicha Ne'ili and Kippur. Somebody comes over and says, Reb Yitzchok, give it up. You're betting against the Lubavitcher Chosid. Tonight's Gimel Tammuz, the other side of the Rebbe. And this Yid is going to Eretz Yisrael, the Schus of the Rebbe. He wants to go ahead and buy Shlishi. That's all my brother-in-law needed to hear. He's a big, imposing fellow. He takes out his money. He sees he has $121. He bangs on the bima. $120 shlishi. Chaim thought he would chalish. Meanwhile, the Lubavitcher, he's a smart person. He went to the next minion and bought it for $5. When my brother-in-law went to pay, the Gabbai said it was already taken care of. What do you mean taken care of? By whom? He goes over, that person over there, he goes over to a person, a man in his 50s. You paid for my aliyah, who are you? This man in his 50s introduces himself as somebody from a particular city. And he says, I saw what you did for that boy. And the reason I paid for the aliyah is because 40 years ago, I was that boy. But I didn't have anyone to do for me what you did for him. That's why I wanted to pay for your aliyah. You see, that's the final Ayin Reish Beis. It's got to be sweet. And if it's sweet, then Be'ezus Hashem will be successful. Rabbi, the month that's ending is called Elul. And everybody knows all of the acronyms for Elul, most notably, Ani L'doiti V'doiti Li. Did you ever notice that if you spell Elul backwards, instead of Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, backwards, it's Lamed, Vav, Lamed, Aleph. And that spells a word, Lule. You know what Lule means? Lule is an expression, if only. Lule, if only. There are people who live their entire life lule-esque in nature. Full of regrets. Lule, if only I wouldn't have said that to her. Lule, if only I had listened when he said it. Lule, lule, and nachamo lule. People live their whole life with regrets. Going into Rosh Hashanah, we have to show the Ribbono Shel Olam, this month for us was Elul, not Lule. Lule means if only, and why didn't I, and full of regrets. Elul. Ha'etza ha'yechida l'schais badin hi'li yoshish sharabim tzrichim lo'i. How many people are you indispensable to? They need you. The Ayin Reish Beis of Arava, your family needs you. The Ayin Reish Beis of the Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, the fellow Yid, and the Ayin Reish Beis of the unaffiliated, make it sweet. I just want to conclude with one maisa. There was a couple that worked in Eretz Yisrael for Leila Achim. And they did a fabulous job, but unfortunately one day they had a 3-year-old. In the morning he had his upshare. He went to cheder, he wasn't feeling well, he went to lie down. And unfortunately on that day, later of his upshare, he had passed away. In fact, recently when I said this over in front of someone who knows the family very well, he told me that in Eretz Yisrael they say, you know, people have the custom when they go for an upshare, they'll wrap the child in a talus so his eyes shouldn't see anything impure. In Eretz Yisrael, they say this family wrapped their child in a talus in the morning and again in the evening. And this family was left to sit Shiva. And he gets a phone call in the middle and he takes the call and he comes back and he tells those who are there that I am currently being makariv. 8 boys who have never kept Shabbos. And one of the 8 was on the phone and said that I'm calling on behalf of the other 7. This week we'll keep Shabbat. Me and the other 7, the 8 of us, in memory of your 3-year-old. You know, sometimes at a Shiva home, people don't say the brightest things. And that's being kind. Someone there says to the man, it's very nice, but what does it really mean? Like, is it such a big deal? They'll keep this one Shabbat, the 8 of them. Is it such a big deal that they won't keep any more after that? So is this one Shabbat such a big deal? That's it? At which point the father says, I'll answer your question. And he looks at the man and he says, you want to know if it's a big deal that they'll keep Shabbos? One Shabbos? Do you know what my wife and I would do to have our 3-year-old Yingle back for one Shabbos? Do you know what my wife and I would give up that we could see Shabbos morning one more Shabbos, the Yingle sit on my knee during Yom Zeruchuvah? You know what I would give up to have him hold my hand one more Shabbos? We give up everything to have our 3-year-old Yingle back for one Shabbos. And now the Ribbono Shel Olam is getting back 8 of his children for one Shabbos. And you still want to know if it's a big deal? Ask my wife, it's a big deal. Ribbono Shel Olam is getting back 8 children for one Shabbos. That's a big deal. It should be the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam that we take to heart the 3 times we said Ayin Reish Beis. become indispensable to our Arava, our family? Become indispensable to Kol Yisrael, our Reidim Zebazeh, our fellow Yid? And become indispensable to Ayin Reish Beis Vaharevna, show the sweetness to the unaffiliated? It's a big deal. And in that zechus, let the words of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter resonate for us. That this Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Ayin Vav will go through that mental checklist, the 8 questions, they're real questions. Let there be hundreds and hundreds of people who will daven and say, I need that person. Become a Yid that your family and fellow Yid depends on. Become indispensable. And if that's a chus, let us merit Hashmi'ini as Kailah, that all of our tefillahs be answered, that we merit a good gebenchte, gesunte yar, a ksiva v'chasima taiva, and a year filled with Yiddish and Achas, all of the brachas kol, brachas haksuvas b'toira, and may we enjoy this nachas from our family and together with our family. I wish everyone a gebenchte, gebenchte, gesunte yar.
Can you just see if this is working? Because that one, whose is this?
Steve is working because the other one before didn't work.
That's recording.
Huh?